Yay Networks.
Welcome to the Great Girlfriends Podcast, where we discuss life, love, laughter, and everything in between. I'm your host, Sybil Amuti, and I can't wait for you to hear all of the Great Girlfriend magic on today's show. So without further ado, grab something great to drink, grab your pen and your paper, and get ready for this week's episode. Enjoy! Hey, hey, Great Girlfriends, Sybil here. Anyone else feeling like this has been the longest year ever, and it's only the second week of January? I mean, if you're like me, your year has started out, I mean, tough. And when I say tough, Great Girlfriends, I mean tough. You hear me? Tough. And I gotta tell you, normally this time of year, like, I'm sort of googly-eyed and I'm sparkly and excited and thrilled. This has been like the roller coaster ride that I never want to get on. So let me just tell you, if you're feeling that way where at the top of the year, you're like, okay, what in the world is going on? Yeah, I'm feeling that same way too. And it's not easy. It's not easy for me, an eternal optimist and someone who does a lot of confident coaching for women, to be able to say this. I'm just telling you, I've gotten gut punched at the top of the year. First, I left my laptop in one state. Then I left my cell phone in another state. And then because my devices were in two different states, I got locked out of everything. So by the time I got to my home state, I had no devices, no way to communicate with the outside world except by my children or my husband's phones. So that was pretty chaotic. And then to follow up, today, no power in my home because of the storms that happened earlier in the week, which I'm like, why is the power out now? Why couldn't the power go out when there was a reason to have a power outage? But listen, I don't have any control of any of those things. What I do have control of is how I respond. And I'm responding with trust, with faith, and with commitment that nothing is going to stop me. And I want you to have that same type of trust, faith, and nothing's going to stop me mindset. We're going to get through this whole year together. Okay? Together. Be it one brick at a time, be it we're moving mountains, be it we're gliding down ski slopes, whatever it is, we're going to do it together. And I just want to encourage you, if you're in that same, you know, gutty space like I am, you know, that I'm coming out of, we're going to come out of it together, one podcast at a time, one experience at a time, one moment at a time. So be patient with yourself. If you need the nap, take the nap. Okay. If you need the space, take the space. If you need to breathe, if you need to relax, take it. Because what you don't want to do is create the chaos in your body that causes your body to really start to become disrupted by the stressors that are approaching you or the things that you're facing in life. So take it from me, you know, the anti-nap specialist. I am like queen of I can't stand naps, to take the nap. I took one and I'm a better woman because of it. And speaking of experiences that you need to be a part of, the Ready, Set, Go Challenge is taking place January 22nd through 24th. Are you registered? If you're not registered, what in the world are you thinking? What are you thinking? Why are you thinking that you don't need to be a part of this challenge? You really do need it. It's a 3-day virtual experience where we come together in the name of unstuckness, disrupting some patterns from 2022, acknowledging things that we really want to dare to go after in 23, and setting a roadmap in place. 3 days. And it's so much fun. I mean, it's 3 evenings. Let me clarify. We're not spending whole days together. 3 evenings of us coming together in the name of getting unstuck and being prepared to graduate in 2023. And, you know, it's a very vulnerable but fun and empowering space. The great girlfriends that come to the challenge every single year are ready to just give it all, you know, just to be their absolute best and really, really move with intention. And so these are the type of women you want to be around. And if you've never done the challenge, trust me when I say it is transformative. Go to bit.ly/RSG Challenge 2023. That's bit.ly/RSG Challenge 2023. And get registered now. Okay. So for this week's episode, we are back at the Doers and Disruptors Conference. I am so excited because this episode is about motherhood and healing and how the two go hand in hand. I won't give it all away, but I will tell you that there will be some tears. And I would encourage you to share this episode with another great girlfriend. There was a mic takeover by my great girlfriend, Kristen Pope. And alongside Kristen Pope is Atoya Burleson and Cecilia Nelson Hurt. And when I tell you their stories of motherhood, healing, and harmony are so transformative for you, even if you're not a mom, this is a conversation that you want to share with your mom or someone who plays a mom figure in your life. All right, so enjoy this week's episode of the podcast, Great Girlfriends. I cannot wait to see you inside of the Ready, Set, Go Challenge, January 22nd through 24th. So that's coming up fast. You have got to get registered. bit.ly/RSGChallenge2023. All right, I'll see you inside. Love you. Enjoy the episode. Kristen is going to moderate a beautiful conversation about motherhood, creating harmony and healing. We've invited two moms to come and have this conversation with her intimately. You will love them both and adore them for what they bring to the table. First, I want to bring up Cecilia Nelson Hurt. Come on over, Cecilia. And y'all may wonder why I'm doing this from over here, because my feet are hurting. Keeping it 100. Cecilia. And then we have my great girlfriend, who's the founder of the Inside Lines podcast, and she's a mom influencer, Atoya Burleson. Come on up, Atoya.
When you say you love me,
all right,
it doesn't matter.
Ladies, you take the stage. I'm turning my mic off. Enjoy.
This really is the best seat in the house, because I get to look at it, all of you all, and you all are so gorgeous. Like, this room is so gorgeous, it's so vivacious. So thank you for the smiles and all that good stuff. I am so thrilled to be joined by two great girlfriends, like fully meeting y'all. Y'all know we're like 6 degrees of separation, but we're connected, so it's Absolutely. Like great to be here for real together in conversation. So I wanna start off, Atoya and Cecilia, by asking you, Cecilia, I'll start with you, and Atoya, if you'll follow up, what was your journey to motherhood? And by that, I mean, like, you know, there are so many different journeys. Was it an oops baby? Was it planned? Were you the woman who was like, I always wanted to have kids, like, I was 10 years old, like, I want to have a baby? You know, like, what was your journey to motherhood?
There we go. So since she's in the audience, I'm not going to say she was an oops baby. She was a surprise gift that I did not plan for at 19. But, you know, I knew I always wanted to be a mom. So I was the kid who played with loads of dolls. I always played, you know, house and being, you know, I always knew that I would want to emulate motherhood. The shows I watched, you know, there was a wife, there was a mother. So I always had this image of what motherhood would be like, and it wasn't that. I'll just say that, right? And so, my journey to motherhood was really a journey to me, because I am not the mother that my mother was, nor the mother that my grandmother was. So I think I've become the mother, the best mother that I can be for my daughter, and it's an evolution, and it's still evolving.
So motherhood for me, my mom, she was a stay-at-home mom. So I always saw her in the home. And I thought to myself, because I was very adventurous, I'd love to go out and do things. And I said, I don't want to be that. I don't want to stay at home. I want to go out and do things. And that was just my personality. But it's so interesting, once I had my son, it all changed. And we had moved to Minnesota. My husband was working. And once I had him, I thought, oh my gosh, I know no one here. I can't leave him. And it completely changed my mindset, you know. And so to piggyback off of what you said, you don't know until you're in it. I think everybody's motherhood journey is different. And you couldn't have told me that I would be at home with him, as well as my other two after that. But I stayed at home with them for a while. And I always tell my mom, like, I get it now. Thank you, you know. And you don't understand, your mom always tells you, like, oh, you think you know, okay, we'll see when you get older. And she's right, you don't know until you're in it. Being with my kids at home was great, and I would not trade it for the world. And I wanted them to see, in my mind, I wanted them to see me working, but I also wanted them to have that mother. So I wanted to have the best of both worlds. So motherhood for me wasn't necessarily being like my mother. It was still keeping my authenticity, but then also being the best mother I could to them.
I love what you talk about Latoya, when you talk about, like, you saw a model and you were like, I don't want to be that, but you really don't know what that is until you're in it.
Absolutely.
You know, and one of the things that I have found about being a mother, and this is going to go into our next question about womanhood. You know, how do we approach womanhood as it relates to motherhood? One of the things that I was able to do when I became a mother was forgive my own mother. Because I realized she's a woman. She's a woman, just she's always been my mother, but she was a woman first. And so one day my daughter's gonna have to forgive me for whatever. You know what I mean? And but and the we lay the title motherhood over womanhood, but it's like, but my womanhood didn't go away. So how do you, Cecilia, approach motherhood as it relates to your womanhood?
You know, that's such a good point, because we think we can't be both at the same time. We think, oh, if I'm going to be the mother, then I'm going to focus on being this mom. But if you're in a relationship, if you're married, you still have to be a partner to your spouse. If you're, you know, still having a sex life, still being romantic, right? And so you we have to find a way to allow all of that to come to pass. I think for me, the motherhood and the womanhood part, I really appreciate it now because my daughter's older. And so we can have candid conversations. Yes, there's points where, you know, she'll tell me that I didn't meet her with what she needed, and she's understanding now. And it's beautiful because we do have this expectation. We as daughters want our mothers to be what our own mothers wasn't to us. And it's, again, it's learning, it's growth. It's a lot of, you know, showing up the best that you can be in that moment and continually to forgive yourself, but also allowing yourself to learn. I think, again, I think the thing that rings true to me is candid conversations. And that's something that my daughter and I, we talk about most recently, saying, you know, she says to me, Mom, I really want the women in our family to be honest and to share their experiences, because so many of her cousins now are going through journeys and going through situations that it's history repeating itself. And so I think that as women, as mothers, we try to shield our daughters from how vulnerable we can be, from the hurt, from the heartbreak, because we don't want them to experience that. But we're not doing them any service, right? We need to let them know that I can feel hurt, I can feel sorrow, I can still show up for you, because it helps her to see, well, if my mom can survive that, if my mom can get past that, then I know the stock that I come from. And I think that's really important.
And then they get to see the full breadth of us.
The full breadth.
The full breadth of us. That
flaws and all.
I am your, all of it. You get to see all of it. Atoya?
Womanhood for me is interesting because I have two boys, but then I also have a daughter, right? So I have this side. I had my two boys first, and I'm the first glimpse into what they see as a woman, right? So what I'm wearing, what I'm saying, am I encouraging them? Am I speaking life into them? What am I doing in situations? They watch everything you do, and subconsciously they're always watching and learning, even when you don't think they are. So for them, just setting that example and just being the best woman that I could be, because one day they're going to court someone and they're going to bring someone home, and I want to make sure that I was a great example. You know, when I talk about encouraging them, I want to speak life into them, and I hope that they find someone that speaks life into them. You know, it could be something as little as how you're treating someone, how you speak to someone. When you're in stress, what do you do? What do you say? How do you handle situations? Do they feel that peace? You know, even in the chaos, there's a peace there that I feel like as moms we have to find, because we are kind of the calm in the storm. And when they feel that and they see that, then they, hopefully they'll find someone in that same respect. And then I think about my daughter. And I want my daughter to be everything and then some, right? You always want your daughter to one-up everything you did. So, you know, I'm her number one cheerleader. Whatever she's wearing, you look amazing, you know? I'm always encouraging her and speaking life into her, and I want her to truly believe that there's nothing she can do. You know, I think if you go back a generation when we were raised, there were limits, right? There was these limits of what they put on you. What you, oh, well, you know, you can't do that. Oh, well, you can't, no, that's for them. Or you, but for my daughter, I want to say, you can do whatever you want to do. What do you want to do? You want to be a singer? You want to be a president? You want to speak where? I want my daughter to find that confidence. And it starts in being a leader. And the only way people learn to become leaders is you speak that into them and you show them and make them truly believe that they can be and do anything they want to do. So for me, womanhood looks different on both sides, but it's serving them in the interests of each child. And I hope one day they look back and say, you know, my mom, she did everything she could possibly do to get me to where I am.
You know, what you talked about, Atoya, is also the response, like that constant responsibility.
True.
A mother, it is
always
that, like, you never put it down. Women talk about their kids are at school, but you're still a mother,
right?
Just because your kids are at school doesn't mean that you're not a mother,
right?
You know, wherever they are, you know, you're still constant, you're still connected.
Still connected.
The role remains. And so I want to ask you, I'll start with you this time, Atoya, about you know, how do you find the harmony between being a mom, being a woman, you know, when you're away, this is quote unquote me time or whatever it is, even if it has to do with them, but where is the harmony in all of that?
Well, can I be honest with y'all? That was hard for me. You know, as a mom, people talk about being selfless, right? And I thought to myself, like, I'm going to give everything to my kids and speak into my family, give everything they would ever need. And then you look up and you're like, I'm burnt out. I'm tired. So it kind of took me getting to that point to realize, like, okay, I've planned for everybody else in this house, you know, from games to, you know, going to gymnastics to, you know, going places with my husband. You're doing all these things for other people, but where on that calendar did you pencil in time for yourself? And so I had to, once I got to the point where I was tired, I realized, okay, I need to do some work on myself. I need to be intentional. I need to put down something on a calendar for me. This is my time slotted for me. And I thought that was, what I realized was, I thought it was selfish, but it wasn't. It was just filling myself up and giving myself everything I need, then I can give it to other people. And then there was that balance and that harmony. But before, it was just, I was just tired, right? So, and what I learned from doing that, from being intentional, putting those things down on the calendar, I learned that my kids see it, my husband sees it, everybody understands that we all need to be filled up, you know, that no woman needs to give you everything to make you feel, you know, the best. You find that within yourself. You replenish yourself when you need to. Sometimes y'all need a time out too. Y'all need to go find your self-care and go in your room and read a book or journal or reflect. So in retrospect, when I look back, I realize that I was giving them something even more important. When I'm giving to myself in those moments, you're still giving to your kids.
You're giving them a model to follow.
Absolutely.
Like you're seeing right now, this is important for me.
So
it's important for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that I can be most honest about is that my daughter sees all of it, right? And so she sees when I'm overworked, and even in the overwork, I'm teaching her not to be overworked, right? I'm loving that this is a conversation about great girlfriends, and so my daughter has amazing girlfriends, but she saw me have great girlfriends as well and show up. And so I believe that I showed her by carving out time for me, carving out time for family, and carving out time for sisterhood, the importance of it. And I think that harmony, it's an ebb and flow, right? So there are times when I, you know, I'm focused on, you know, again, I had my daughter young, so I was still going to school and working. So there were times when I couldn't be as present with homework, but I was present with dance class and recital and science fair, right? She's not gonna remember the times that I wasn't there, but it was more important for her to remember the times that I was there, right? And so we do spa days. We go away together. We don't go away as much as we'd like to, but we have a plan, because that's where we are in life right now. And so what I love about the harmony of our relationship is that it's evolving as she's getting older and I'm getting older, and you know, we can go for drinks, we can go for cocktails, you know, there are different things that we can do now because that's just the stage of life that our relationship is at.
Cecilia, I love this conversation about you and your daughter. Can you share with us about being a young mom?
You know, I think the most important lesson that I learned was I didn't know what I didn't know and what I thought I knew. And so being a young mom, it wasn't just about being, you know, having this doll to dress up and take out. It was the responsibility. And so I learned that, one, she's watching, she's paying attention. I am, again, like you said, even with your sons, with our daughters, we're teaching them what to expect in life and what to expect from ourselves. And so being a young mom made us girlfriends, almost. And so anyone who spends time around us is like, your relationship is kind of weird because you love each other, but then you bicker like your sisters. But we can also have these amazing, candid conversations, which wasn't always the case with me and my mom. Right, because my mom is from Panama, and if anyone has a Caribbean or Hispanic or, you know, any, you know, black mom, right? There are things that you just, I didn't have these sorts of conversations with my mother. You don't ask her grown business, right? Like, you stay in your place. But with my daughter, she was present. Like, if I wanted to go out for, you know, for not a cocktail, but if I wanted to go out to brunch with my girlfriends, she had to come. Because my mother was like, I'm not watching her. Right, and so that just meant that my daughter was being exposed to different things, and so I think, and you know, you can talk to her. Her view of the world is different because she appreciates the things that I appreciate because she was going through it with me. So we love, you know, we go to Alvinelli, we go to the gallery, we go to, you know, we have all these great wine vineyards experiences because that's what I wanted to do. And like, you're gonna come, you know, you're not gonna drink wine until you're old enough. But we're going to have these experiences, and I think, you know, being a young mom made me have a different view. It also allowed me to have real candid conversations early, right? So we had conversations, and this is not a sex talk, but we had conversations about, you know, sex, and I, how do I say this in the right way that doesn't embarrass her? But it was more like, I was able to have real conversations about, I'm not gonna say no, I'm gonna say be smart, right? And so because I was a young mom and I knew what was happening, and again, it wasn't, you know, MySpace or Facebook, but we knew things were happening, and so I could sit down with her and say, here's why you wanna be mindful. And so when she went off to college, she ended up being the AIDS counselor because we had those sort of candid conversations, and she was able to show up at college for other students and have different sorts of conversations about being smart, not drinking, right? You know, she went away to college and didn't go crazy because we had boundaries at home, right? So you know, I remember taking away curfew sophomore year. Like, you can come home whenever you want to come home. And my friend was like, she's a sophomore. I'm like, yeah, but she's working and she has to get up in the morning. And so what that is teaching her is, okay, I can make the choice to stay out till midnight, but I still have to get up to be on that 7 o'clock bus. And so it taught her a work ethic that I see now in the way she lives her life and handles her business.
Cecilia, you have, there's a theme with you, candid conversations.
Yes.
And how important that is. Did you, Atoya, did you have candid conversations with your mom?
No, and it was interesting because I'm listening to you and I think back to, like, I talk about that generation before. You know, you really didn't talk about certain things. It was just a don't do it. You know, or, oh, you see so-and-so coming here, you know, she did, you know, it was just like, there was always this judgment, right? And I agree with you 100% with my daughter. She's 11, she just started sixth grade, so I have a little ways to go. But, you know, even with my boys, I talk to my boys, they're both in high school. I have to have those conversations about girls, about boys, about, you know, peer pressure, you know, and it's funny because when we talk about it, they get like this, you know, uncomfortable, funny look on themselves, you know, on their faces. But the more you talk about it, the more they start to relax, and it doesn't become uncomfortable anymore. And my daughter kind of chimes in, listens here and there. But I agree with you in the sense of my mom didn't give that to me, and I definitely want to give that to my kids. I want them to feel not judged, but they can come and talk to me about anything, right? If they're thinking about something, if they're unsure, come talk to me because I've been through it. I'm not going to judge you on something that I've been through, right? So I want my kids just to be able to have conversations about things they may be thinking about, maybe something that someone told them at school, and they're like, well, I didn't know that. I'm going to ask my mom or ask my dad. I want them to feel comfortable having those conversations because I would rather them hear from me than someone else. Definitely. Like, I tell them that all the time. If someone tells you something and you're not sure, come ask me. I will tell you the truth.
And you know what it is, Toya, what I have learned, even with my daughter who's 4, is that I get to create a safe space. Yeah. We get to be the safe space for our children. And that is healing, and it's transformational, and it's things that we did not experience. So we have one last question, and that question is, define motherhood in one word.
Motherhood in one word, I would say, it's one word, but it's complex. I would say multidimensional. I feel like as a mother, we give so much of ourselves, and we give so much to each kid. They all need different things. We fill their cups up. We fill our husband's cup up. We have to speak into their lives. We have to make room for not just our kids, but sometimes their friends, right? Motherhood runs deeper than just our kids. I have kids over my house all the time now because they feel comfortable. They can have conversations with me. We can talk. So motherhood is you find these depths in your heart that you give so much of yourself to so many. And from your husband to their friends to your family, being a mother or being a mother and a woman in general is there's this multidimensional depths that you carry with you. And you can go deeper that you didn't even know you had inside of you. So I would say multidimensional for me is what I see as a mother.
Cecilia?
I'm going to use 2 words. Sorry. Uniquely yours, right? My motherhood journey is not Cherie's journey. It's not Kishana's journey. It's not Sybil's journey, not your journey. And I don't want to measure my motherhood walk by your walk because I will always fall short. There's always going to be, and particularly in the tile era, right, the social media tile, I can't measure what type of mother you are by the lovely photo picture that you posted of you and your 6 kids all dressed in the same. No, that's not real. Like, and I wish people would normalize having real conversations because it's making people feel like they're falling short. And so I think the acceptance that it's uniquely yours, the good, the bad, the indifference, is important, right? Because then that means that I'm going to be the best, and I love that you said the same thing, right? We're going to be the best mom that we can be, while yes, there are books, but there's no real textbook because every child is different. And while I only have 1 child, I have friends who have more than 1 child, and you can't parent all your children the same way. And so you can't show up as, you know, while it would be lovely to be clear, I'm Huxtable, right? Because that was what was on when I was growing up, but that's not reality. And so giving yourself permission to be the best mother that you can be, to show up in the best way that you know how to be in this moment is key.
Thank you, ladies. I will end by saying thank you, ladies. Thank you for being honest, open, transparent, vulnerable, and for sharing your motherhood journeys, for being amazing mamas, for showing it your way, for it being uniquely yours, multi-generational. Thank you so much. And cheers to all the mamas in the room, the women who want to be mamas, wherever you are on that journey. Cheers to you.
Thank you.
All right, great girlfriends, did you enjoy this week's episode of the podcast? If so, would you please give us your amazing review on iTunes? Every single review helps another great girlfriend get plugged into the podcast and the community. Speaking of community, make sure you join our Facebook group at The Great Girlfriends, follow us on Instagram at The Great Girlfriends, and on Twitter at the_greatGFS. I'm Sybil Amuti, and I'm out. Peace.